With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
The road to Roland Garros continues on the red clay in Spain. Welcome to TC Live as we get you caught up on all the biggest news and highlights from this Saturday in Madrid. A whole lot to discuss over the next half hour. It was just a week ago that the Demon took down Rafa in Barcelona. They are already running it back with Nadal hoping to flip the script to make a huge statement. Iga Swiatek has reached 100 weeks at the number one spot. We'll show you how her massive lead can get even greater by making history in Madrid. And this future Pro Football Hall of Famer claims that tennis athletes are the best in the world. Will our experts agree with him? And what do you think? It's all happening on TC Live. Come on in. Great to have you here with us from our studios in Santa Monica, California. Steve Weisman back alongside Coco Vandeweghe. We got Andy Roddick on the big screen. This is a big week for tennis, folks. We got the movie Challengers in theaters right now. We got the video game Topspin 2K that just dropped. I mean, tennis is having a moment, Coco.
It absolutely is. And maybe that's what my weekend plans are going to be, is go see the movie, go get a video game, and then I got to go get an Xbox to be able to play this game because I'm not a gamer. But I'm definitely a movie watcher because I love my popcorn way too much.
Popcorn is fantastic. Butter or heavy butter?
Oh, my gosh, yes. If you're going to be bad, do bad right. That's kind of the motto I live with.
Your extra butter as well, Andy?
Yeah, well, I don't know about extra butter, but I hear no lies in what Coco said. Like, if you're going to do it, let's do it. You know, let's not mess around.
Gamer? You play video games?
I don't, just because, you know, I have children, Steve.
And they don't either?
No, they don't know what it is. We're going to keep it that way as long as we can.
That's smart parenting right there by
that.
Andy and Brooke. Yeah, good stuff. All right, let's get it going. That rematch that we talked about in the tease, Rafa Nadal, Alex de Minaur, the Aussie beat Nadal last week in Barcelona, could become just the second player to defeat Nadal in back-to-back weeks after Novak Djokovic did it more than a decade ago in Madrid and Rome. Rafa was a 12-time champ in Barcelona. He's won a record 5 times in Madrid, Andy, looking for his first top 20 win in 2 years.
Yeah, and listen, this crowd came for it, Steve. Even during warm-up, they were chanting, Rafa, Rafa, and he gave them a lot more to cheer about. Can create more speed on that backhand side. Everything else he does is right-handed in his life, Steve, and you can tell when he takes a rip on that backhand side, we will see it over and over again. Right there, and Rafa says, get up, I am not done yet, I am here to play, and I am the king of play. Go lawnmower, Rafa, give him the lawnmower, that's what we want to see. And then more of the same in the second set. Every match that he plays on clay, he is going to have more confidence in his body, he is going to recognize those old faithful patterns, and he brought it today. Serve looked a little better. The movement looked a little bit better. The margin's coming back. And you cannot guard that forehand cross court and that one down the line on the next ball. It is just not humanly possible. This was fun to watch. Why not have one more backhand with the right hand? Hate that it ends on a double, but man, this was fun to watch, Steve.
The king of Spain was in the crowd, and the king of clay made a statement that he is not giving up the throne just yet. A straight set win for Nadal over de Minaur. Pedro Cachin up next for Rafa, the 5-time champions. You take a look at this section of the draw. Medvedev against Sebi Korda. Ben Shelton against Alexander Bublik. Yuri Lehechka there at the bottom. We'll tell you about that Montero upset later in the show. But first, let's hear from Rafa with Prakash.
That first set, it was very tight, similar to Barcelona. How important was that for you? It looked like you were fighting so hard in the end there.
Yeah, well, super important, of course. No, that was the key, losing that first set. I mean, today I felt ready to keep fighting, but I don't know if I will have the energy for 2 more hours now. But yeah, super happy to be here in Madrid playing in front of these amazing people. Yeah. making me feel so happy.
Rafa, we saw recently that it was announced you'll be at Laver Cup, which is beautiful for us to see. How far are you thinking?
I don't know, and I just take day by day. I don't know how many more tournaments I want to be able to play, but you know, I just enjoying the diary basis, to spend here a few more days playing in front of the crowd, playing at home. You know, it's so special, no? So we just take one moment in time, yeah, and just enjoying that fact.
You hear what it means to him. You see what it means to everybody else. I mean, it was packed there behind Prakash and Rafa. Andy talked about the lawnmower. That was a six pumper. I mean, sometimes you get the three pumper, the four pumper. That was a six pumper. I haven't seen that in a long time. This is a second round match. How would you assess his level today?
Well, I think first and foremost, we are all very greedy once we have these great athletes out there on court that we want to see more. We never want the legend to die. And I think Rafa is feeling the same way, especially coming out here in Madrid, playing in front of his home country. I mean, the King of Spain shows up. You got to perform, put the six pumps in there and get it going. But it was a great test for Rafa to be able to come back. And you know, when Rafa takes a loss on any surface, especially on clay, and you're facing that opponent literally this next week. Sorry, Alex, you knew that the L was coming. I mean, there's no one that's going to be Rafa twice on clay back-to-back weeks. That's hard to do, but a great stepping stone for Rafa. But again, like he said, let's see how he bounces back. Let's see how his body is able to hold up and be able to perform not just one match, not just two matches, but now three matches coming up. One day of rest isn't much, but we'll see if Rafa still has the gusto to do it.
Let's put the feels aside because we had all of them. So let's put that on the side saddle for a second. But if Rafa is healthy, he is the type of player that needs matches, right? And simply, the more matches he gets, the better he's going to be. The question is, will his body hold up? It has held up through the first two matches here. The serve looked better than it's looked in 2 years. Today he was actually able to find his spots. The second wasn't hanging as much as it was last week. He's not getting around and getting as many forehands as he normally does. Obviously, time is undefeated. That's one thing. But what he is doing, we saw him at a highlight. He's taking that backhand and just absolutely rushing it to the forehand side to create space. If he can keep that one on radar lock and has his range, he's going to be very difficult. This is fun, Steve.
Yeah, winners off the backhand side. And the serve, Andy says, looks better than it has in 2 years. He has not dropped a set yet in Madrid into the next round. Meantime, the top seed in Madrid is Jannik Sinner. He came to the Magic Box with a record of 3-2 here, but his domination, Andy, over fellow Italians continued against Lorenzo Sonego.
Yeah, Steve, do you remember that time he lost to an Italian on tour?
I don't.
Nope. Yeah, he hasn't. Never has. And It didn't start today, and listen, the movement improvement on the hard courts has been amazing. On the clay courts, you know, I had some question marks going into Monte Carlo. Are we going to see a drop in momentum? Is the movement going to be affected? Now he's hitting these shots where he's coming in and hitting little droppers and hesitation volleys. This guy is becoming absolutely complete before our eyes. We know he's a ball striker. We know he can smother you from the baseline. But when he's winning points like this, where he has patience on our turnaround drop shot, and then the flipper Magoo at the end, Steve, are you kidding me? Sonego is going, bro, I thought we were friends. Why you got to do this to me? And he says, no, sorry. Bad news is you missed it. Good news is I got a hug for you. But Sinner looked great today.
Now 13-0 against his countrymen on tour. One more of a higher percentage in second serve points than Sonego did first serve points. That is a recipe for domination for Jannik Sinner. The upset of the day came early in Arantxa Sanchez Stadium. Stefano Tsitsipas coming in, Coco, off the Monte Carlo title, the final in Barcelona, facing Thiago Monteiro.
Thiago came out and was absolutely using his leftiness to his advantage, just peppering the Stefanos backhand and not letting him breathe once on this side. And Stefanos really didn't have an answer. He was trying to chip it down low, trying to really just try and get Thiago to hit up with the leftiness, but it just really wasn't working. And you could see Stefanos not being able to get into any offensive positions, and he just didn't make enough returns to really make Thiago feel any sort of pressure. And once the Brazilian got going, he was really hard to stop out here on the courts of Madrid.
Now, this was a shocker. Monteiro lost in the first round of a challenger last week. Called it one of the biggest wins of his life. Hit 24 winners. This is his fourth top 10 victory. Massive for the Brazilian. For Stefano Tsitsipas, still a great start to the clay court campaign. We will see him back in Rome. To the ladies we go. Sloane Stephens riding a 7-match win streak into her tilt with Maria Sakkari. Coco, one more would match her career high.
Sloane had played two tough three-setters to get to this point. And Maria Sakkari was really feeling herself, really dictating off the forehand wing. And Maria Sakkari is one of those few players that can match Sloane in her athleticism as you see her dictating the middle of the court. But what I love that Maria has implemented in her game, especially in these first couple of weeks working with David Witt, is coming forward after her forehand. A lot of the times, especially last year, she was stuck too far behind the baseline and really wasn't able to take advantage of her aggressive, heavy forehand and be able to start maneuvering these women around the court. But here against Sloane, she was able to do that to fruition.
The streak is now over. Sakkari, some clean tennis, just 3 unforced errors in the first set, has now won 18 of her past 19 matches against players ranked outside the top 30. Some good stuff from Maria Sakkari. How about Coco Gauff? Picked up right where she left off from her first match. After that double bagel, Coco went up 5-love early against Diana Yastremska.
I mean, Coco trying to open her own bakery out here against Diana, but she just really let things slip after being 5-0. It was maybe just a lapse in concentration, which certainly can happen. You haven't lost a game in almost 3 sets at this point, but the double faults started to come so often and so consistently, and Coco just not having a solution. But Diana just gifted this first set to Coco Gauff in the end. And Coco using her athleticism to get to that point, just getting these extra balls back, putting Diana in uncomfortable situations, not a surface that Diana Yastremska enjoys playing on. Oh, almost hit Diana right there with the overhead. But it's just so awkward sometimes on the clay court to get your feet underneath you, to get your rhythm, but able to bounce back, not letting the slip up in the first set affect her too much. Moving on.
Just one win now from her first Madrid quarterfinal. She will face fellow American Madison Keys next. Since 2000, no woman has a higher winning percentage on clay than Iga Swiatek. And Andy, the bakery was open for business against Sorana Cristea.
And I'll tell you, it's really tough to get Iga Swiatek on clay when you can't hit it through the court consistently and overpower her. I'm not sure where you go if you don't go through her on that forehand side. And just more of the same. It's not an accident that Iga has been the number one player the last couple of years, has 3 Roland Garros titles at by age 22. And if she's hitting that one up the line, I'm not sure what you cover, right? At certain point, you have to make a decision, and oftentimes none of them are a great option against Iga Swiatek, but that's kind of the way the best players in the world make you feel today. And then, listen, it was curtains early in this one. Iga looked great.
Broke 6 times, won nearly 70% of her points on serve. Iga Swiatek continues that domination on the dirt. Take a look at this live rankings. What a massive lead for the world number one. Already 100 weeks at that top spot. And Coco Gauff about 3,000 points behind Sabalenka and Rybakina behind her. Coco, as you see, live rankings up to number 2. That would be a career high for her. So a massive hold on that number 1 spot. We heard Andy Roddick say, not sure where you go if not through her. How do you go through Iga Swiatek?
Well, I would love to see a couple of these ladies be able to mix up the paces to her forehand. If you can't hit it through her forehand, which is going to be hard to do consistently on a clay court, you need more of a grass court or a fast hard court to do that. Let's chip it down low, get her on that extreme Western, throw it up high, get her out of position that way. And then that opens up the backhand side, because you can't really go too much into the backhand corner. You have to give her a little bit of a rope-a-dope and see if she can get wrong-footed, which everyone has seen is hard to do on the clay courts.
Well, what do you think of that strategy, Andy?
Yeah, well, listen, the challenge that Iga presents is when she has time on the forehand side, she can rip it, right? And then once she gets a hold of you, it's tough to get out of it. But her defensive skills on her backhand are paramount. So even if you attempt to go through that forehand side and you don't quite hit it well, she's going to have you on a string, like we've seen Rafa do when he gets control of these points on clay for so long. So what sounds easy in theory is certainly harder when you're there trying to execute it. Coco and I know all too well, listen, best laid plans often require execution, which is the toughest part.
And that gap at number 1 could get even greater. She actually hasn't won Madrid before. Got to the final last year, lost, could win this year, and keep getting even bigger and bigger in that race to number 1. A lot more still to come here on TC Live. Ben Shelton shot to reclaim the top spot among American men. See if he could take his clay win streak to 5 in a row. Plus, it's draft day. Our experts pick one player who they feel will win the women's title at Roland Garros later this spring.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Hello, tennis fans. I'm Fox Weather meteorologist Kendall Smith, and here is tomorrow's Madrid Open forecast in Madrid, Spain. Partly cloudy skies with temperatures in the upper 50s. Remember, you can download the Fox Weather app or stream Fox Weather from your favorite connected TV device.
Thank you, Kendall. Still a little chilly there in Madrid. We got you covered on T2 on a Sunday. Matches starting at 5 a.m. Eastern. Some really good ones. How about Kazakina Pavlyuchenkova, the young teenager Mira Andreeva taking on the 7 seed, Marketa Vondrousova, Garcia Paolini, and Tommy Paul in action against the Argentine Francisco Cerundolo. That leads into second serve on T2, 8 a.m. Eastern. Some incredible guests, as always, in studio and out, joining the crew on a Sunday for all the fun and games. Big Foe's been there, done that. Hall of Famer Tracy Austin back with Nick Monroe and Jeff Chisver to take you through the action. VJ in the house. All right, it is day 3 of the NFL draft, and a couple days ago, we did our draft for the men's winner at Roland Garros this year. So today, it is time to draft our first pick for the women's singles winner. Coco, you have the first pick on the women's side. Who are you going with?
I got to go with Iga. I mean, how can you bet against Iga? And thank you, guys. I paid off the commissioner to get this pick, so I didn't have to struggle with the second round pick of the women's draw. I went for the easy, simple choice. I'm going with Iga.
Going with Iga. So Andy, if Iga is off the board, who are you taking?
Well, I'll tell you this much. I would have much rather had the number one pick on the women's side than the men's side. Like, I picked Sinner, and she had Alcaraz, Novak. She had, like, I would have taken any of three. But here we are. I think I'd take Rybakina only because she doesn't dislike the matchup against Iga as much as everyone else. Played well against her at Rome last year, beat her a couple weeks ago in Stuttgart. I think I'd take Rybakina just based on recent form and that specific matchup with Iga.
I'll throw a wild card in there for you. How about former champion Yelena Ostapenko? Who's undefeated against Iga Swiatek?
I don't see it, Steve. Unless she faces Iga, like, third round, fourth round, I don't see Yelena being able to sustain it for 2 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah, I think Coco will let you have that pick straight up against Iga.
If I'm going dark horse, you got to go Sloane. I mean, Sloane's got come through. She can play the big matches. I mean, I love a good dark horse pick. So, I mean, if I was going to go second, third round, I'm going Sloane with third round
pick. My first round pick would be Coco Gauff. So I was just going, you know, that was my dark horse, Andy.
You know, I actually, then if we're doing like if I get the next pick after that, I'm just doing the math. I got a Rybakina and Sabalenka. This is getting better for me.
Okay. we each get 3 picks. That's the way you do a draft, you know?
I mean, you just got to talk to the right people, Andy, to get here at Tennis Channel. You know, you gotta just grease the wheels, get it going.
Proximity rules. I'm stuck here in my office. Proximity rules.
As long as your Zoom isn't muted, Andy, we're all good. A lot more still to come here on TC Live. 3-time major runner-up Ons Jabeur continuing her pursuit of happiness and success. Don't go anywhere. Andy, Coco, Steve back on TC Live. That music can only mean one thing. The year's next major, just weeks away. Tennis Channel, Tennis Channel Plus, and T2 will once again bring you extensive daily live coverage from Roland Garros. Don't miss any of the Grand Slam excitement on the red clay in Paris beginning Sunday, May 26th at 5 a.m. Eastern. Cannot wait. Novak Djokovic, 3-time champ there in Paris. Back to Madrid, Daniil Medvedev aiming to complete the box set of quarterfinals at Masters 1000 events this week. Just missing Madrid, Andy, facing Matteo Arnaldi.
I saw a tweet today that said water covers 70% of Earth and the other 30% is covered by Daniil Medvedev.
That's good.
This court coverage is ridiculous, and I hope we see the one where he hit a lob winner that landed a foot inside of the service line. If we don't see that, then it's a tragedy amongst tragedy. But this guy literally hates playing on this stuff, and he likes spite wins in spite of it. It's unbelievable what the work he's able to do. Guy gets more out of his game than potentially anyone on planet Earth right now. I love watching him play. I think this is it. This is covering 30% of Earth here, Steve. And watch where this lob winner lands. This is insane. This is my favorite shot I think I've seen this year. It landed 6 inches in front of the service line. That was awesome. I love watching Medvedev.
Wow. He was just playing with him right there.
Salty. Ooh. Salty.
and by the way, he's made of 80% water. So, the coverage is what it is. Ben Shelton coming off that title in Houston, Andy, took those vibes straight to Madrid against Thomas Mahac.
Yeah, it was big for him to get a bunch of wins there in Houston, even though it's kind of, you know, it's. Listen, any tournament that I, clay court tournament that I got to the finals of 5 times doesn't really tell you that much. But Shelton building on that Houston tournament, this match lasted 58 minutes, Steve. It was, 0-2, and I don't know that it felt that close. Ben was in full flight. I think this surface, the light air, helps his ball travel through the court. Not that he needs much help on the serve, but the way he's moving is impressive. Night and day from last year when he kind of struggled his way through the clay court season. Maybe get someone to wipe the moisture off of the camera, but I guess that's just being picky. Ben Shelton, look, he was moving well today.
It was hot. It got foggy there. I mean, there's the steam coming off of Ben Shelton. Guy's on fire. Meantime, he beat Francis Tiafoe in that final in Houston. So, big foe in a tiebreak in the first set against Pedro Cachin.
This was a tough match for big foe. He was playing someone that is very comfortable on the clay court surface. And when you're not feeling your best and you're feeling a bit out of sorts, that can be very dangerous, as it proved in that first set. In the second set, Francis was able to make this court play more like a hard court, being able to hit through it, take a couple balls a little bit earlier. But this third set really was disastrous for Francis, just really didn't play a good service game here at 4-5 and let Cachin come back and just absolutely dirtball him to the ground.
Tough loss there for Francis Tiafoe, looking to gain some confidence as he heads to Rome and then Roland Garros. But nice win for Pedro Cachin. He's got Rafa Nadal next. On the women's side, Ons Jabeur, the 2022 champ in Madrid, going for her third straight win over Leyla Fernandez. All of the matches, though, Coco, have gone the distance.
Well, it's understandable. Leyla definitely plays hot and cold and can really hit the racket out of your hand. And I was wondering if Ons was going to be able to bounce back after her first match at this tournament. She really wasn't looking well, looked like she wasn't feeling well, maybe was a little bit injured coming in, as she has been for most of the year. But Leyla having a break here in this third set and letting it slip away. Ons just really moving back on the court, giving herself a little bit more time to handle Layla's pace and able to get back on serve. And then finally breaking, using the different spins that she has to not give Leyla the same look too many times and coming out with the victory.
That's a big win for Ons Jabeur. She needs them. Has been struggling this year with her health. Takes out Leyla Fernandez from 4-2 down in the third set. Some other scores from Madrid today. Madison Keys takes out the 15-seed Samsonova. She will play Coco Gauff next for a spot in the quarterfinals. Emma Navarro goes down. But Sebi Korda getting a nice win against Max Purcell. On his Instagram, though, he was fired up for Rafa Nadal getting the win. He posted that victory. Sebi, big fan of Rafa. He's got a cat named Rafa. What's trending on social media right now? Well, legendary NFL wide receiver Larry Fitzgerald joined our friends on Second Serve yesterday, and he said he thinks the sport of tennis has the best athletes in the world. Let's take a listen.
I think, you know, tennis athletes are the best in the world. I mean, you think about the anaerobic, workout that they have, and the change of direction, you know, the long rallies. I mean, it's a really special athlete to be able to compete on the highest level.
See, you've got one of the best football players to ever suit up, and he's saying that tennis players are the best in the world. What do you think about that?
I heard these words from his mouth 3 weeks ago at a golf tournament. I had more beverages in my system than I do for our Tennis Channel Live broadcast, but he said the same thing and was effusive about the sport. He absolutely believes that tennis players are the best athletes in the world. I may be a little biased, but I don't disagree.
No, I totally agree. Listen, you're from a family of high excelling athletes in a variety of sports. What do you think?
Well, if you ask any of them, they think that they're the best athlete at the best sport, but you're asking me right now. So I definitely think tennis is up there at the top hardest sports to play. And it's not only just because of what Larry touched on, the anaerobic and the aerobic aspect of tennis, but also the longevity and how long we have to play throughout this season and deal with it. I mean, football, as we all know, is a very short season. It doesn't take that much time. Basketball a little bit longer, baseball a little bit longer, but it's so much more physical, and you're always by yourself on top of that. I've had many of arguments in the gym training with all these NFL guys being like, no, you don't understand. Like, get out on the tennis court. I got a couple of them out there on the tennis court. Kenny Stills and I, we went to high school together. So I got him out there, and he did a little off-court, off-season training when he was at the Dolphins with me, and getting him to learn how to hit a forehand was absolutely comedy. I got to throw you under the bus, Kenny. I'm sorry. It was really bad.
Did he then agree with you that tennis is number one?
He absolutely did not agree with me, but he definitely enjoyed tennis as a good fallback sport to be able to keep moving, keep having fun, and be able to use different aspects of his body that in being a wide receiver, you don't get to use as much, being able to have some space where as a wide receiver, he's like, no, I always want to be up close. I'm like, dude, you need some space to swing that racket. Like, you're going to hit yourself.
And it's the mental part for me that takes it over the top. Yeah, it's all the athleticism, all the endurance, all of that. But you're on an island. You're literally by yourself. There's no timeouts. There's no coach. There's no break. And I've tweeted before when Novak Djokovic is at his best, he is the greatest athlete on the planet. And I truly believe that. Andy, if tennis is number one, what would be right behind that? What would be two?
Tennis. I think is number two. No, I mean, I think the similar movements are basketball, right? You're sprinting for 48 minutes, but listen, we're all homers. Like Coco said, instead of talking about other sports, with which I'm not as well versed, there's no sport that's more isolated for a longer period of time, right? You don't have the option of just trying harder on defense to affect a result or passing the ball to affect a result. You don't play a position. You don't play a role. You have to play all of the roles. And then let's throw in like 110 degree heat for 5 hours in Melbourne. It's brutal.
Well, I don't think I need to elaborate much. I'm just going to go with ice hockey. I think it just the hit factor. You got to take a couple of punches. That or actual boxing. I mean, that would be my 1, 2, 3.
No, I agree with that. Those are good calls right there. But tennis, number one, Larry Fitzgerald, thank you and you're welcome. It's kind of a mic drop right there. Here's our schedule coming up for you tomorrow. The tennis continues from Madrid bright and early on Tennis Channel and T2, 5 a.m. Eastern. Second Serve back with you at 8 a.m. Eastern. Some great guests tomorrow. TC Live at 6 p.m. Eastern following all the action and then encore coverage all night long. We will preview what's going down tomorrow when we come back.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Welcome back. Time for our hot shot of the day. Oh, we're going to get a Rafa backhand, Andy?
Well, I think we saw a little preview of this one earlier. We actually saw this exact one. Right here, you feel like he never loses a point, and people don't often end up at net when Rafa has a couple forehands like that, but he invites him in, the lob, and then you got to cover cross because that's where he always goes, except he pulls the string down the line. The decisions that the GOATs make us choose right there. Oh, I'm going to go line for the first time in about a decade on a backhand passing shot. He will be nowhere near it.
I mean, the hot shot could have just been the six pumper, and I would have been all about it. Here's our featured matches on a Sunday fun day. We got Carlos Alcaraz taking on Thiago Zybacz-Vuj. That's right. It's a wild pronunciation. Mm-hmm. Taylor Fritz taking on Sebi Baez. Robin Montgomery coming off the win of her life. Can she back it up against Sabalenka? For more on these matches, let's head back to our desk in Madrid with Danny and Prakash.
All right, Steve, back here at our FanDuel desk. Prakash, Taylor Fritz has played Sebastian Baez four times, has beat him all four times very comfortably, but they've never played on the dirt. How do you think he'll do on the clay?
Well, look, Taylor's felt pretty comfortable out here. And even when he sat here speaking to us, he said, listen, playing against Sebastian, that's something I love doing. And he doesn't mind playing him on clay. He thinks it's going to be very interesting. So that 4-0 and a couple of those having been drubbings, I think we're going to see another big drubbing, D. I'm getting into the spirit here in Madrid.
Wow, you're lucky our desk didn't fall down with Prakash's muscles. But look, we're going to have a big day of action here on Sunday. And apparently the Americans get a victory.
What is going on out there?
Poor Danny. That's all I have to say. Poor Danny having to deal with that. I mean, Prakash, you got to use props now. Like, it's just not enough. You're not bringing the smoke out there?
No, I like that. I like it. The more the merrier, just, you know. He's calling that win. But how about Carlos Alcaraz, Andy, taking on the man who shall not be named, Thiago Zybacz-Vuj. There you go. Yeah, I know you did a whole serve podcast on it. Have you gotten it down yet?
No, and I just feel like everyone's taking liberties. Like, not once in my life have I demanded a French crowd call me Roddick, but yet, you know,
Roddick.
We have to call him Zybacz-Vuj. Yeah, exactly. Listen, but this guy's playing great. He played fantastic in Miami, which is why we all started pronouncing his name correctly in the first place. I'm just going to call him Thiago, but the Chuckster. Listen, at this tournament, the light air, everything else, I know he's been hurt. I know Thiago Brazil has way more match play in the last month or so, but it's almost impossible to call against Carlos. But, I mean, he's going to have his hands full. This guy can play for real.
I don't know why you would go against Wild. I mean, I understand you want your name pronounced, but it's like, let's go like actor status where you just go with the pronunciation that everyone makes. But you know, I got to agree with Andy. We got to stick with our guy Carlitos. He's playing far too good, far too just velocity behind his ball. It's just too much. And I don't see Thiago really coming out there. I think he'll be close, maybe a single break each set. But I think Carlos just runs away with this.
All right, looking forward to that match. Then we've got the 16-year-old who, in a couple days, turned 17. Mira Andreeva made the fourth round here last year, one win away from getting back there, Andy. Taking on Marketa Vondrousova, told Prakash the other day that tweet that Andy Murray put about her. She framed it. It's up in the house.
Oh, no.
The whole deal. And does she make the fourth round again?
I believe once upon a time they called something like that an NFT and pretended like you actually owned something. But I think I actually like Andreeva in this match. She obviously likes these conditions, made a run there last year. I know Vondrousova hasn't had the best start to the year. Even mentioned last week that she is going through some stuff in her personal life, which is always hard. But I think I like Andreeva. I love her ability to compete. I like the way normally at 16 years old, you get extended into matches. You start getting tired. She's like a robot. She just doesn't get tired. I also love the way that she switches directions kind of at will. I like her in this one, in the upset.
Well, just for argument's sake, just so I'm not agreeing with Andy on everything, I got to go with Vondrousova. I think she definitely has some more experience. I mean, we saw Andreeva kind of falter in her last match, just not really feeling so confident, really got a little bit tight out there, I would say, from what I was watching. But I think that, Marquetta, when you have things going against you, sometimes you find solace on the tennis court where you're able to really just kind of forget about everything that's going bad in your life and just be able to just find some happiness out there on the tennis court because it's something that we all know, love, and at least easily know how to do.
Yeah, for sure. It's going to be a Sunday fun day no matter what. Looking forward to all of those matches. You can catch them right here on Tennis Channel and T2. For Andy Roddick and Coco Vandeweghe, I'm Steve Weissman. Thank you so much for joining us on this edition of TC Live. We leave you with the six pumper, the lawnmower from Rafa Nadal. Never forget, he is the king of clay. The action continues from Madrid next.